Last week, Michael McKenzie took us inside the latest citizen science project that's trying to understand why some children are fussy eaters and others aren't, even within the same family. Deakin University teamed up with the ScienceWorks Museum in Melbourne to find out what role food texture plays in what kids like to put in their mouths and don't like. So what about tongue sensitivity? Does it make someone more or less fussy with their food? Michael pretends to be a 9-year-old. It's more complicated than it sounds.
Hi, Tracy. I'm here to test my tongue acuity.
Okay, cool.
Tracy is a PhD student from Deakin University.
So, do you see the lines here?
I do.
She holds up in front of me a tiny white plastic mallet with grooves engraved into the end of it.
Yeah, so I'm going to put this on your tongue like that and ask you whether these lines are running like vertically up and down.
But I can see them running vertically.
Yeah, but you're going to have your blindfold on soon.
Oh, I see.
So no worries.
Oh, there's a blindfold.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Okay, all right, okay.
All right. So you can stick out your tongue.
And so begins a series of tests with me unable to look at which way the grooves are running.
I'm going to hold for 4 seconds. Then which way did it go, you think? Pretty hard, huh?
Really hard?
Yes!
I can only use my tongue to tell.
Okay. That's vertical.
That's vertical. How sure are you? You can say really sure, kind of not sure, or really, really not sure.
I'm kind of sure.
You're kind of sure?
Yeah.
Which way this time?
Horizontal.
Okay.
I'm going on instinct here as much as anything.
All right.
I feel I can feel it, but I'm not absolutely certain.
Okay, so stick out your tongue. It's going to be different this time.
I find out later Tracy has switched her little mallet to another one with grooves that are even smaller.
Yeah?
Because it felt like it went both ways to me.
It can't be.
It can only be one.
Yes.
Oh, okay. In that case, I go horizontal.
Horizontal?
Yeah.
You want to keep going?
Oh, yeah. Let's keep going.
Okay.
I can feel all my energy is focused on extracting maximum feeling from my tongue. It's exhausting.
How was that?
I have no idea.
Take a guess.
My brain is willing me to say vertical.
Vertical. Okay. How sure are you?
Really, 30%.
You're really not sure. Okay.
No.
So how did I do?
So we have these two different sizes. It tastes like a little bit like a small,
tiny grooves.
Yeah, and these are kind of big grooves.
Yeah.
So you've done everything got right for the big one.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then the little one, you're like 16%.
Okay.
Pretty good job.
Yeah. So does that indicate that I'm quite sensitive to texture?
It's about 0.5, 50%, so I would say you're sensitive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it not true, too, that as we get older, we start losing taste buds?
I think so.
More importantly, how did the 5 to 12-year-olds go with this test?
Some of them are really good at it.
Are they really?
Yeah.
And is there some link, do you think, between how good they are at detecting that and their fussiness for texture in the mouth?
Yeah, we assume that.
So that's the assumption, although so much of what we know about the science of fussy eating is based on supposition rather than incontrovertible evidence, which is why this data-gathering exercise I'm reporting on is so essential for what's going to be international sharing of knowledge around eating behaviour. Deakin University's research leader in this project, Dr. Georgie Russell.
One of the things that we're interested in here, again, is individual differences. So you talk to parents who have more than one child and they'll tell you that their children eat in very different ways. So that's what you often hear. And, you know, there's lots of reasons for that. So that's one of the things that we're exploring here. So we're really trying to understand, you know, why is it that, you know, someone who's 12 might be selecting healthy foods in appropriate sizes, but another child would not be. So what are those factors? Is it something to do with their biology or their personality, or, you know, other influences?
Do you anticipate you may also see differences in tongue sensitivity to texture depending on cultural background and gender?
I would suggest that gender could be a factor.
Russell Keast is a professor of sensory science at Deakin University.
It's hard to know in terms of cultures if there would be differences in distribution sensitivities, but it's one of the things that we'll find out. Although a lot of the work we're doing, we're not really doing anything into Asia at the moment, which is a shame, or Africa, so we don't have that great genetic diversity within the current study that we're doing, but hopefully in time, if we start to see differences between, you know, where we are here in Australia and maybe Washington State, then that'll, you know, we'll start to question why that would be.
Well, given the fact that Australia is such a multicultural place and that you've got a huge range of different cultural backgrounds turning up to take part in this,
true.
I'm just wondering whether, you know, family food environments that could vary widely across this sample may impact their textural response.
It's a good point. It's a good point. And you know, it's one of the things that we'll find out in time. But it'll take a while to go through the data, and maybe in a couple of years' time we'll have a few more clues.
Hello, my name's Michael. Hello. What's your name?
Gia.
Gia. Gia, would you like to have a seat here? Is that okay? Now, your brother over there doesn't like tomatoes, but he likes tacos. Are you the same?
No.
What do you like?
I like tacos.
Yeah.
And I like tomatoes.
Oh, so you do like tomatoes. So your brother doesn't like tomatoes, but you do. Is there other foods you like that he doesn't like?
Peppers.
Red peppers?
Yeah.
Green peppers? You like all those?
Yeah.
So if you had a meal that you really wanted to eat, what would it have in it?
Quesadilla.
Quesadilla? Yeah, is that an Indian dish?
No, it's a Mexican
dish. Yeah. Quesadilla?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it. What's in quesadilla?
Cheese, beans, all those vegetables.
And are the beans all nice and mushy?
Yeah.
So do you guys eat a lot of Mexican food at home?
Yeah, we're from US, so right. My wife makes a lot of Mexican food and all that. So yeah, he doesn't eat mushrooms and all that as well, but she does. She loves veggies, so she can eat salad as well. So we have a balance. We'd say like 30-70, because they don't like Indian food. They like prefer Mexican food or something else.
Right.
So mostly it's like that.
So do you have an Indian background?
Yes, I'm
right.
Indian, yeah.
So you have an Indian background, but mostly Mexican at home.
Yeah, because, yeah, and my wife likes to cook that anyway. Right.
That's good. Okay. Yeah. Has your daughter always loved food from the get-go, all kinds of food?
Yes, she's not fussy about food. She doesn't like honey, but he loves honey. So that's the opposite.
This is perfect for Georgie, who's doing this research, because
okay.
They'd both grown up in the same house, exposed to the same dishes.
Yes.
And yet your son is quite particular about some things.
He's probably like me. I'm a bit of a picky eater as well.
Even now?
Yes.
Even now?
Yes.
Do you eat tomatoes?
I do eat tomatoes, yes.
Do you eat honey?
I remember. Yes, I love honey. So that's why he loves honey.
Okay. What things don't you eat?
Some of the Indian veggies, like eggplant and all that, I hate the sight of it and the mushy feeling.
Okay. So perhaps this is a case in point where some of the fussiness around food might have been inherited.
Yeah, so it's probably my son, I do understand, so I don't force him to do anything because I know I've been through the process, so I just let it be. He'll come around when he comes around.
Did you find you started eating more things as you got older?
Yes, I did,
right,
yeah.
Right. So were there any surprises in taking your son and daughter around this research?
No.
It confirmed everything?
Yeah.
And if you thought these kinds of fussy behaviours were only happening in non-scientific households, then Dr. Georgie Russell is quite reassuring.
I also have the same situation in my house. I have a 3-year-old at the moment who loves to reject my lovely meals that I make for him as well. And it is very frustrating, I agree with you. And it is hard to sort of stay calm and relaxed in those situations.
And is that key, is what I'm asking, is it key?
Is, yeah, it is key because, you know, if meal times become an unpleasant situation or the child feels too forced into consuming foods that they might not otherwise consume, it can have a negative impact on their future acceptance of that food. So it is difficult, I think, you know, especially when you do have that very fussy child that doesn't want to eat things. And it is, I know you hear this message again and again, it is about repeated exposure and trying to keep that in a pleasant way. So yeah, it's tough, but it is, you know, that's how it is, unfortunately.
Now, back to my tongue acuity test. At the end of that test, I scored 0.5. which my tester, Tracy, said indicated I was doing pretty well for sensing different kinds of textures in food. However, her supervisor, Professor Russell Keast, has got some bad news for me.
0.5 isn't, you wouldn't be classified as sensitive at 0.5. You're probably more 0.75 and up would be sensitive. Okay. So
you just let me down. I was feeling so chuffed, and now you've ruined everything.
I didn't want to. Georgie made me. So I'm not sure which result Tracy gave you, but either...
She said I got about 60% success rate on the fine one.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Are you just being patronising now?
No. It's middling in terms of the population. Okay. So it's not too bad. It's not too bad. Yeah.
Thanks.
But even then, we don't know if being more sensitive is necessarily a good thing. We don't know that if you're more sensitive, you're not actually going to be more fussy with texture because things actually irritate more in the mouth or hurt more. So we're not sure that being less sensitive isn't going to be associated with more varied food consumption. Those are the types of things that we'll be finding out from this study.
I keep being shocked at how little we know based on the questions you're asking here, because you know, it's not as if food sensitivity, food fussiness is simply part of the modern age.
So this really goes back to the fundamentals. So the knowledge that we have in the oral cavity was derived from research done into touch via the hand. So things like Braille and those sorts of things. What we've learnt more recently is that some of the receptors in the hand aren't actually in the oral cavity, or they haven't been found in the oral cavity. So that the processing of the signals is going to be different. We've got one skin surface on the hand, we've got three skin surfaces in the oral cavity. So what we're inferring has been potentially incorrect. Hence the need for us to do this, sort of reset our knowledge base and go from there, because presumably what we've been thinking about has been incorrect.
The three areas of sensitivity in the oral cavity, tongue obviously,
tongue,
roof of mouth.
That's right, the palate or the roof of the mouth, soft palate, and the gingiva. So it's this area here.
Oh, your gum.
That's right. So the area between the top of the teeth and the lip, which is another area. And again, the anatomy of all three is different, and the structure of receptors within them is all different. So again, this is all knowledge that We're working slowly to unpick and repack, I suppose.
In some ways, researchers like Russell and Georgie are almost starting from scratch, which is why the 2,000 sets of data from the Melbourne Taste and Texture Project is feeding into other research happening in the US and Scandinavia. On top of that are the extraordinary revelations about the link between gut, mind, and our behaviour. That's because there are chemical receptors throughout our body, not just in the mouth.
The function in the mouth is obviously just to signal, are we going to swallow or are we going to spit? It's a really salient signal like that. When we swallow...
Will it feed me or kill me?
That's right. When we swallow, they're still recognising throughout the alimentary canal and they're signalling satiety. So fullness, appropriate hormonal response for the nutrients you've ingested, a whole lot of downstream effects which have a massive impact on how much we eat. We've also found that what happens in the oral cavity, if you're sensitive here, you're sensitive throughout the gut.
That's a given.
Certainly for fat. So if somebody's sensitive to fat, if you give them a fatty meal, they're going to feel full and their break between meals is going to be a long time. If somebody is insensitive to fat, it's like an invisible nutrient to them. It doesn't provide the satiety or fullness that you would expect from, you know, that level of fat. So you remain hungry and you keep on eating.
Which means you could have health issues around fat intake.
Yeah.
Or sugar intake
or salt intake. So all of those things are tied up. So it's a really interesting area to be in at this stage.
And I'd like to thank everyone from Deakin University and ScienceWorks for all their insights on this study. And of course, Hilary, they're still crunching all this data and an amazing amount of information flowing through this project. And that will go along with lots of other data collected in places like the US and I think Copenhagen to try and work out what exactly is going on in the mouth and the entire system of a fussy eater.